This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
There's been some tattletales inside the bubble, but is that what you want? We'll get to that here coming up in just a little bit. That's down in Florida, but, you know, I was, scrolling around Twitter like last weekend, maybe 10 days ago, and I was seeing a lot of TBT references, and I'm like, well, TBT is a throwback Thursday. What's TBT?
Right.
And this thing's been going on in past years, but it's getting way more play now because of the sports environment where we're living now, and we want live sports back. And the basketball tournament on ESPN has done very well. It's this winner take all $2 million tournament.
Is it $2 million this year?
I believe it is. Yes, $2 million. Dan Dockich, our good friend, has been broadcasting this, and he can tell us firsthand on, you know, this new world of isolating players, making it work, broadcasting these games, how they should be broadcast. And Dockich is always good for fun radio and joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Sylvie, my man, K Pasa, how are you? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, as good as I can be under the circumstances, Dan. And as always, thank you for your support.
You are an American badass. You will kick cancer's ass and move forward with Waddle for many years to come. And I'm very happy about that.
Amen. Amen. Are you on the golf course, Danny?
No, I'm on the side of my house. I live on a lake. I'm a big guy.
You're
and
big shooter.
I'm getting my my life, there's a little boat out here, so usually I go 10 miles an hour with my wife, and we putz around. But tomorrow I'm having all my boys over. We're getting a couple coolers of beer, and I got all the toys out. I told them, bring your toys, whether it's skis or tubes or wakeboards. So a bunch of 50-year-olds are going to go kill themselves, 50-plus-year-olds
wow.
tomorrow. So I'm kind of getting it ready right now.
Oh, look at you.
Excellent.
Wow.
I know. I'm a big wheel. Big wheel.
So tell us about this. And how it relates forward going to the NBA. You broadcast many of these games, and it's worked, and it's been pretty good basketball. Will this work in the NBA?
All right, here's the difference, and we've already seen this. My son is a GM of a team, played and coached on a team, so he was in the bubble. Very simple. In the bubble that they have for the TBT, it's $1 million. I heard you guys talking. It's usually $2 million. But what they did was, it's actually $1.2 million. They're taking out $800,000 for expenses, literally took over the Hyatt Regency downtown Columbus, put in practice courts in the ballroom where guys can work out, have practice times. But here's the difference. They literally had, at every exit possible, a sign that said, if this is controlled by television monitors inside the building, if you leave the premises, you are disqualified from the tournament. Well, the NBA is not doing that. The NBA is basically, as we've seen, some clown from Bowling Green, Rashawn Holmes, decided, yeah, I'm not doing this. He went out. So you got to quarantine for 14 days. This will work if the players want it to work. I mean, there's already been Instagram models posting that they've been invited to sneak inside the bubble. Apparently, there's a snitch system involved. The TBT basically said, look, you violate, you go out, you're done. We don't have time for you. While testing and doing all the other things. So this will absolutely work, and the TBT has shown it, if the freaking players in baseball or basketball don't act like fools. I mean, they tell you not to leave, you don't leave. They tell you you're in quarantine, you're in quarantine. Some guy from Sacramento, or I don't know what team he was on, he just said, to hell with it, I'm not going to sit in my room for 48 hours or whatever it is. If the players want to do it, it works. If the players don't want to do it, it ain't going to work. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the medical, the science part of it, it seems difficult, but it seems also like they've got that down pretty good now with testing and everything else. Now it comes down to the discipline of the players and how much you want to really get out of this, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how selfish are you going to be? Like, a couple WNBA players here in Indianapolis, they almost shut down the whole damn league because for whatever the reason, they had to go out. They had to play pickup games against people they didn't know, and they got the virus. So I had a couple people involved in the WNBA hostile with the fever here because their players were stupid. I mean, look, the science is simple. If we don't let if everybody inside the bubble doesn't have it, and we don't let anybody inside a place where everybody doesn't have it, then we should be good.
Right.
And we keep testing you. But again, it's so funny. Like, I read something from, I don't know who the woman was, some Instagram model. She said, hey, I've already been invited inside the bubble. This ain't going to work, people. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Just be smart, and the thing will work out. They're not going to be, like the TBT, very limited people inside the arena. Meaning, when you look at the scores table, there's like one person there. Jen Hale, who does sidelines for us, she had to be quarantined. She does interviews from a minimum 6 feet away with a whole setup that you've seen in golf and different things on CBS. So this will work. It will, but the human element steps in. Interesting to see what happens. Okay, let's say, for example, you get in the playoffs and one guy on LeBron James's team, maybe, who knows, somebody that's helpful to the team, decides to go out. Now he's got to quarantine 14 days during the playoffs. I don't think that'll happen, but it's a possibility. But as I keep saying, if everybody does it right, if everybody just does what they're asked to do, this will be a success.
Yeah. Dan, what was it like for you to broadcast games? Like you said, you have one person inside the bubble. You're doing it, what, off a monitor? And what is that like for a broadcaster? And how it translates to the viewer?
Billy, I loved it, man. It was 14 blocks from my house. I had a big old monitor there. We had a big old stats monitor. A lot of people were asking me after the broadcast, you know, what was it like being there? And I said, look, we weren't there. You can't tell the difference. The Big Ten Network's been doing that for years. ESPN's been doing it for years, having guys broadcast. At ESPN, they call it Remy games, remote something. At ESPN or at Big Ten Network, they call them micer games, where you go to – my wife did them for softball for the Big Ten Network. You go in studio in Chicago, and you do it off the monitor. It was no big deal for me at all. In fact, I'm not going to lie. I did a game 7 o'clock at night. I was on my back porch having a glass of wine with my wife by 9:15. It was beautiful, and it was really absolutely no difference, man. It was like, holy hell, sign me up for this, baby. Let's go.
Well, get used to it, right, Dan? Because, I mean, listen, between budget cuts and all kinds of other things and travel, we don't know when – you know, they're going to allow people to be calling games on site. I mean, you could be doing college basketball all next year in the same fashion, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's what I anticipate, Tommy. I anticipate that's how we're going to do it for at least this coming year. I don't anticipate. Now, I don't know. They've done them for football. I remember there was a game in Australia. It was like San Diego State somebody a few years ago. It was like the opening college football game I was watching. I said, man, that sounds weird. I called my buddy Bart Fox, who is my producer for ESPN. He's like, yeah, they're not there. They're in Bristol doing the game. That's a very few times that you could tell. Basketball, football, there's no way you're not going to be doing games, or there's no way you're going to be doing games from the site. There just isn't. I'll tell you what Benetti told me, Jason told me, they're doing White Sox games home and away from the home broadcast booth. So they're not traveling. But that's a totally different thing. Baseball, you're way up high. Basketball, you're right down there. And there's no way they're going to let us do that. No way. Anybody thinks differently, I would argue with.
How do you feel? I don't know why I'm so passionate about this, but I am very anti fake crowd noise. There are a lot of people I follow. Andrew Marchand on the New York Post insists the games are more exciting with fake crowd noise. I don't need to hide from what the thing is, Dan. Like when the Cubs play and there's no one in Wrigley Field, I know it's going to be quieter than usual, but I still like baseball. Are you, as a broadcaster and as a sports fan, do you want fake noise put into these broadcasts?
All right, because of what has gone on, I now watch, because of gambling, the Premier League. I love the fake crowd noise in the Premier League. I'm sorry, I do. I don't think I'm going to like it for baseball. I don't think I'm going to like it for basketball. I don't think I'm going to need it, truthfully. I really don't. But for the Premier League, I like it because, frankly, I don't know what the hell's going on in soccer. I just know that I took Chelsea minus 200, and I need them to score a damn goal once in a while.
Dude, I'm on the same side. They were minus 200.
Yes,
yeah, and we just got clobbered. They looked awful today, Danny. Yeah, they won 1-0 over Norwich City.
Oh, I'm good with that. I took them to win outright in a parlay with the Golden Eagles tonight.
You turd.
So I'm
Wait a minute. You're gambling on the tournament that you've been broadcasting?
Oh, to give you a two-word answer. Hell yes! Are you crazy?
Hey, listen, you're Brent Musburger and Al Michaels.
I'm not doing the game that I'm doing. I don't do it on the game that I'm doing. But I'm not. Hey, let me tell you what I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to get everything done right now, so that at 7 o'clock Eastern time, my fat ass is sitting on a couch with some caramel popcorn and either a Diet Coke or a big old glass of wine, and I'm watching. Yeah, I'm gambling on this.
Time out. You better give yourself a little bit of break if the fellas are showing up tomorrow with coolers of beer and you're going to be on the lake all day.
Yeah, it's three. It's a 4 o'clock show. See, here in Indiana, and where I live, it gets dark at 9:30 at night. Like, we're on the western part of the Eastern time zone. So we're starting at 4. We're going to be done at 9. Yeah, I'm going to need a little physical therapy after it. But tonight, look, I like the Golden Eagles. Hell, I had both Fran Fraschilla, who's doing the game, and Seth Greenberg on my show today. And you would, I swear to God, Tommy, you would have thought that Fran was Brent Musburger, because he's like, what's the line? I said, 4.5. Oh, no. I'd take the Golden Eagles. I'd have made the line 7.5. This, you know, he was a combination Jimmy the Greek, Brent Musburger today, and it was glorious. So I'm taking the Golden Eagles. I got him at minus 3.5. Yeah.
All right, hell yes, I
am.
I think it's funny on the broadcast when Al Michaels used to say, and that field goal changes the complexion for some people late in the game.
The hints,
we used
right?
to do this with when I was first year in broadcasting. We'd come to Chicago. It was me, Jimmy Jackson, Revson, and we would watch games all day Saturday and do, like, halftime shows and stuff. Well, Rever used to – I did not know this. Rever would tell us, hey, let's see how fast we can figure out what Musburger's betting on, right? And it was one of four things. It was the home team, the visiting team, the over or the under, right? And I swear to God, within, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes into the game – Revson had it nailed. Rever would be like, oh, hell, he's clearly going over today. I mean, what are you doing? So, yeah, I won't bet on games that I'm doing. I won't. I don't like doing that.
All right, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, before we let you go, you've always gone pro. I don't want to say always, but you're not scared to back the NCAA. Is college sports forever changing? All these programs getting wiped out, even at Stanford, where they have a ton of money. And will college sports be different forever going forward because of this?
All right, let me address the first thing. I believe this. I believe most schools wanted these sports gone, and they're using the pandemic. And I use Bowling Green, place where I coach, getting rid of its baseball program as the perfect example. They tried to get rid of it for a couple of years, and then during this pandemic, no one was going to argue. Well, people did argue, and the alumni got together, and they got it back. I believe sports this year is going to change dramatically. From this point on, a year from now, I don't think it's going to change. I think you're going to see the same schedules in football. I think you're going to see the same thing, feast week et al., in basketball. I don't think it's going to change. I don't blame the NCAA for sports being canceled. And Stanford's is the most interesting to me. You said, I think it's a $227 billion endowment. But they had
$27 billion.
I'd put an extra two on there.
You did. That's a quarter of a trillion there. That's a little large.
Hey, man, it's Stanford. I mean, hey, look, Stanford's no BC or it's no IU, but it's still Stanford. It's got some standing
Good
in this
point.
World. I just don't think, guys, I think a year from now, assuming that there's a vaccine and assuming, I think you're going to see sports go back to normal. Yes, some of these sports are going to be gone, but I think over time you'll see some of them come back as well. I just think this, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. I think a lot of schools are using this pandemic to get rid of to trim the fat, I guess, off their budget. The people I don't feel sorry for is like my school, Indiana, that says, well, we're going to have a $14 million deficit. You've made so much money over the last X number of years because of the Big Ten Network. If you didn't have a rainy day fund, that's on you. I don't want to hear about it.
Right. Yeah. Good point. That's a good point. Dan, great stuff. Enjoy the boys tomorrow on the lake, all right?
Thank you, Danny.
I missed you guys. Still be rooting for you, man. Praying for you. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Dockich, always in our corner. Always an entertaining guest. Yeah. And he's broadcast these games. He thinks it can work. I want to talk about that. The hotline has been ringing inside the NBA bubble. And also, we have some Cubs news about an injury, and it's not really good news.
Oh, boy.
That's coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So the latest on Anthony Rizzo, everyone thought it was getting better, no big deal, and it may still not be that big of a deal. But Jesse has written up a story on ESPN.com and has just been posted. According to David Ross and the Cubs, Anthony Rizzo will undergo an MRI on his back. He remains out of workouts. I guess he started with batting practice on Sunday. And then, according to Ross, once he cooled down, some of the stiffness came back. He's still day-to-day, but he's going to get some tests run and see where he's at. Now, Jesse, I've been like yelling at Jesse on the radio a bit these last few days. Last week, he filled in for Cap a couple of different times, and he continues to scold Cubs fans that say, you know, I'm worried about Rizzo's back. Now, I'm not overly worried, but I never think that when he's 30 now, he's going to be 31 in August. And this has been cropping up when he was 29, when he was 28, that he would always have something. They'd go to Cincinnati, and he would say the bed didn't agree with him.
Right.
And he would miss games, especially early. Jesse's point has always been, this is a guy over the last 4 years, 5 years, who has averaged 154 games played. So he believes this is much to do about nothing. I've always believed that when you're talking about a 30-year-old
and
you're talking about a reoccurring back issue, albeit hasn't missed a ton, but still, that it's always some sort of a worry. Well, how would you say?
It's not a good thing for sure. You know, I mean, aren't you always kind of concerned that it's going to manifest itself this year? Like, and then when you get through the season, he plays 154 games. You're like, wow, feels like we really got by one now. And then next year comes along and you hear, oh, Riz has got to go and get an MRI on his back. You're like, oh, this is the year that he's going to. I mean, so, yeah, it's never a, you know, it's never a comforting thing to hear that your all-star caliber first baseman is going to get an MRI on his back.
The problem with back injuries, I'm not a doctor, but I occasionally play one on the radio. The truth is that most doctors will tell you that it's hard to, they're not curable. They're not fixable. You try and do things to maintain them,
right,
in order to give yourself
the reoccurring.
Exactly.
It's always flaring up.
It's not like, you know, like a Tommy John surgery where you go ahead, you switch out the ligaments, and then all of a sudden you give it 18 months and you feel like everything's brand new. Back injuries, you're always susceptible.
Well, and I think all you have to do is follow the money, like Waddle would say. Rizzo wanted to know in the offseason where his extension was. He's under an option year this year. He's got an option next year that the Cubs are going to exercise. It's for like $16.5 million. They're gonna exercise that. Maybe they'll, in this offseason, depending how well he plays, maybe they'll address a year out a new contract. But I just think, like with Scotty, too, had the same thing with a back injury. You never, at the age, they're not paying 30-year-olds as it is to begin with. And a 30-something then who has a reoccurring back injury, you're not going to give a contract extension 2 years away. Why would you? You're going to just ride it out and see where this goes.
Correct.
And then when it comes closer to free agency, then he could continue to play. This year, he could play 58 games, could play 57, have a really, really good year and put up his usual numbers. Same with next year. I'm not an alarmist with this. I'm just, Jesse's been shouting at Cubs fans that not to worry about this. And I'm just saying that with a 30-year-old who has a reoccurring back injury that started in his 20s, that you should always keep an eye on this.
Yeah, at some point your worries are going to manifest themselves in reality. So, I mean, yeah, and I think any time that you're having a conversation about Rizzo and his back, you're holding your breath because he's so important to the team.
Yes, and he's awesome. Rizzo, what he did last year in the wake of such a bad finish, gets lost on people, and I don't know how many people even remember September of last year because it turned out to be terrible for the Cubs down the stretch. But you remember that when we were – I think I'm wearing the shirt today. I think we were at the Rambler. We're at the Rambler on the north side of the city.
Rambler up.
And right, and we're counting Rizzo out. Everyone thinks Rizzo's going to miss high ankle sprain. He's going to miss like at least a week. And then wasn't it announced right before the game? It was a 6 o'clock nationally televised Cubs Cardinals game.
Couldn't believe it.
And Rizzo was on the field running, and we're like, "What's he doing?" And then all of a sudden, they've changed it where Anthony Rizzo is in the lineup.
That was one of the wildest endings to a Waddle and Sylvie show, Sylvie, because you're right. I remember we popped Jesse on at like 5:52 or something, and he was like, "I don't know what's going on here, guys." And then, like, literally as the closing music of the show was ending, you're like calling for the Rocky music because yes. Rizzo was like all of a sudden on the field and going to play.
He could barely walk, and he continued to hit, right? He still had big hit after big hit in that span. He's hitting leadoff. He's got the bad ankle. So I'm not questioning anything about Rizzo. I love Rizzo. I got nothing but love for Rizzo. But I'm just saying that it's something just to keep your eye on.
No doubt. No doubt.
So this week's injury report on the Waddle and Sylvie show is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations. Make it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at chooserush.org. So the Cubs, yes, and that's one of the top stories today. Sox, a lot of excitement around the Sox. A lot of people buying in nationally. The White Sox are Oppo Bears nationally. No one is buying the Bears' success on a national level. Any website you read previewing the NFL season, everyone thinks the Bears suck. And the Sox, everywhere you read nationally, the Sox are the sexy choice in the 60-game season.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with that, 100%. There's two guys on the team that have basically neither one of them have major league experience, right? That major list, that list that you were talking about.
The MLB TV list that was on the Ringer. They have Robert and Madrigal on the list, and we don't even know if Madrigal is starting with the big league team.
Right. Listen, I'm okay if you're cautious about how you feel the Bears are going to play this year. I get it. I understand some of the concerns. I'm just not, and I haven't been from day one, I'm not in the 5-11 camp. I'm just not. Although last year's, what was it, 8-8? Were they 8-8 last year?
Yeah.
8-8 felt like 5-11 last year, or 6-10. But I think they're a better football team than the national media is projecting. Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to achieve greatness, but I think they're going to be better than what everyone is talking about.
Do you believe the White Sox are going to be as good as a lot of people think? It's one of the more interesting teams to follow, certainly, this year.
I don't think you can predict that. There are so many things to be excited about, but there's so many things also that you don't know. You know, I mean, what do they say? Prospects are just prospects.
Prospects are suspects.
Prospects are suspects. There you go. So, like, listen, they project well. I mean, I'd like to have a lot of them on my team, but you don't know. You don't know, A, when they get their first taste of Major League Baseball, and B, the circumstances are not ideal as well. So I think it's likely that they could be a big surprise, but
the depth of the White Sox lineup is impressive. And even if Luis Robert doesn't live up to, if he doesn't come out gangbusters, and even if he's just, you know, it takes him a little while to find his way, offensively, they should be a very difficult team for most teams to deal with. It's the pitching for me, and you know, like Kopech, the upside was obviously very tantalizing. But after Giolito and Keuchel in the rotation, there's a bunch of guys who have a lot of, like, they have pedigree in Dylan Cease and Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah.
But without Kopech, all of a sudden, you know, now you're counting on those guys to be, you know, they need to come through more. And then Gio Gonzalez, look,
they'll give you four good innings.
And you know what? That honestly, that might be okay this year because
right.
if they play with their bullpen the way that they should, they can get by with four good innings from Gio Gonzalez. But the reality is, too, I don't think Gio Gonzalez signs with the White Sox and is happy every outing giving you just four innings. I think there'll be guys who, if they're pulled after four innings every time out, they'll be a little annoyed if that's what happens with Ronaldo Lopez and Gio Gonzalez, even if it's the best for the team.
Right. This could be the Gio Gonzalez year where, you know, you're just getting that from your starters, and he can. That's what he does. 312-332-3776. Would you rather coming up? Tweet them to us. Your best either-or question. I've got a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors to give away. Make them fun. Make them creative. Make us think. Would you rather this or that? Send them to us at Twitter. You can at Jeff Meller. So send them to him. Tyler, what's your Twitter account?
At Tyler Aki _.
All right. So that is coming up next with Would You Rather. If you want to talk some baseball with us, we were talking some marquee. We'll get back into that a little bit earlier, getting worried about the Cubs, and we'll get back into the Bears conversation as well. Would You Rather coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, this is your last call for Would You Rather here. You can sneak them in if Meller noticed them before the segment ends. He could sneak them in. Tyler as well. Use the hashtag WS, Would You Rather, your best either or question for us. It could be fun. It could be just one that makes us think. And let's go. Can you what?
Can I give you some good information
that has
tentacles
that read stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, I just was reading this. Sure.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
That sound still freaks me out.
It does. It only sounds like bad news. I mean, this was implemented, I think, right at the start of COVID as well.
Yes. So this is from the AP. First COVID-19 vaccine tested in U.S. poised for final testing. This is from 23 minutes ago. First COVID-19 vaccine tested in the U.S. revved up people's immune system just the way scientists had hoped, researchers reported Tuesday, as the shots are poised to begin key final testing. No matter how you slice this, this is good news, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the U.S. government's top infectious disease expert, told the AP. The experimental vaccine developed by Fauci's colleagues at the National Institutes of Health and Moderna Incorporated will start its most important step around July 27th, a 30,000-person study to prove the shots really are strong enough to protect against the coronavirus.
Yeah. And so it says that, too, that researchers reported anxiously awaited findings from the first 45 volunteers who rolled up their sleeves back in March. Sure enough, the vaccine provided a hoped-for immune boost. Those early volunteers developed what are called neutralizing antibodies in their bloodstream, molecules key to blocking infections, a level comparable to those found in people who survived COVID-19, the research team reported in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Okay, this is another reason why you should push the NFL season back. You've got time.
Mark Cuban was tweeting about this too, because and we could do Would You Rather here coming up. It will give people more time too at 4:45. But while we have this, there are so many debates going on right now in the real world about what we're facing. Like, it's our aisle is the toy department. We talk about
yes.
the sports world. We talk about NBA bubbles and people riding down water slides and sneaking
yeah.
girls into the bubble.
Sports and drinks. That's what we do. 2-6.
Your 60 game baseball seasons, whether or not the Hawks can go on a run even without Corey Crawford, that's our specialty. But like, wherever I read the two biggest debates within I don't even know how big of a debate the first one is, but maybe I just hear the loud minority and it angers me, is A, the masks. But the other thing that Mark Cuban was talking about is this, the biggest thing is the schools, you know, like in the fall will, like, are the big hot button topic amongst parents right now is it going to be safe enough to send kids back to school? And will it do more harm to send them back and put them in harm's way and to be carriers for the disease? Or will it do more harm mentally to keep them home for several months again and not learn anything and not socialize? And this goes hand in hand with
it. It's a tough conversation. It really is. Because, listen, when something like this happens, not only do you have the virus to deal with, you've got mental health issues that's become
real,
or even they are real. They become exacerbated. You have overdose. You have all kinds of real, you know, things that are going on that, you know, accumulate that make it. So now you have to start making decisions. I mean, what's best for the children? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
This is finally some good news in the wake of, like, all this chatter about all this stuff.
Although I would say that, like, I've never seen a greater group of doctors get together on Twitter on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. You know, I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, that everyone has a medical degree?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. Who the hell knows? That's what I'm saying. Everyone's so passionate about the either way. So if the scientists tell me that by wearing a mask, like you said, Waddle, you wear a mask, I wear a mask, our chances, if we're together, are 1.5% chance that we could get it if one of us has it, the other one gets it? Is that the way the stat goes? Two people wearing a mask, 1.5% chance?
That is correct.
Like, I'm going with it. And you know what? If they change it later, okay, big deal. I compared it to you before of boarding up a house and we're supposed to get a hurricane and the hurricane never comes. Isn't that good news if the hurricane never comes?
Yeah.
So I'd rather be prepared.
Now, again, I get it. If you're boarding up your house and there's, you know, for a hurricane and there's not even a hurricane in the forecast, different story. But if there is a forecast for a hurricane, but it may or may not hit you, different, you know.
Right. I'd rather board up my house and not have to worry about the house seeing it if it could last through a hurricane. I'd rather it be passed up by it.
I think that's fair.
So I'd rather be masked. And you know what? And if we look back on this in a year and we're out of this and we say, you know what? The masks may not have been as foolproof as we thought. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with it. But for now, you know, today I'm going to my first I'm at the stage in my treatment where my white blood cells are going up. I got
nice.
10 days out for the next test. So I'm going to go to the park with a mask to watch Mason play in his second coach pitch game today.
Nice.
But I'm going to be socially distant and I'm going to be wearing a mask. And I've been told that at many of these places, there aren't as many people as I would hope to who are wearing the masks.
Do you anticipate screaming at Mason through the mask?
No, but my report was from his first game, he wasn't as a good sport. And you know, just like with you, with your daughters and the one thing, and you know, he's only six and he's still, who knows if he's even going to like baseball. But here's what we ask him to. We ask him to pay attention and just, if something doesn't go his way, don't run off the field and say, I quit. And from what I understand,
that's a pretty low bar.
Yes, right. But from what I understand, he had a meltdown with my wife there and me not there. So today, from moral support, I decided I'm going to go.
Turned into a Ted Lilly on you that first game.
Right.
Throw his mitt down. I'm out of here.
He doesn't understand everything. They're long games, from what I understand. I mean, these kids are 6 and 7, and they're coach pitch, and it's like a 5-inning game or 90 minutes, whichever comes first. Now, I don't care whatever Mason's favorite thing to do is. And doing anything for 90 minutes straight is tough for a 6-year-old kid.
And my guess is there's more 90-minute games than there are 5-inning games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder how many games are actually completed. That's a great point.
Yeah, five is really steep. I remember back when I was playing coach pitch, it was three innings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and everyone hit. And
Tyler
that's
actually
what T-ball
played.
Was,
that was
right.
2 years ago when
yeah,
Tyler
I was, gonna
was
say,
playing
Tyler,
coach
Tyler,
pitch.
Yeah,
it's
right. Tyler, you just graduated.
Yeah, we can finally
coach
steal
pitch.
Bases now.
Yeah. So again, I know we veered into some of the other stuff associated, but it just always comes up with me. The Associated Report. The Associated Press reporting breaking news on the COVID front. The first vaccine tested in the U.S. for the coronavirus boosted volunteers' immune systems as hoped, researchers report. final study starts this month. So that's the race. The race is, hey, can we get a vaccine available for our society before the new year?
And again, to me, it's just another reason why the NFL should take advantage of time. Push it back a few weeks and give yourself that time. You may get there. You know how many companies are trying to develop a vaccine? Like, you may get better. You may even get even better news tomorrow from another company that's trying to create one. So you just never know. You may get good news tomorrow about an antiviral medication that increases the likelihood that you can get through the season. Why not take every last second that's available to you to keep something intact? Like, your full season can be intact if, in fact, we start this all up August 17th, whatever it is.
Reporting, right.
Yes.
By reporting.
Let's push this back as far as you're comfortable pushing this back. And you know what? If your thought is, well, we need some buffer room in case we got to shut her all down. Okay, if you still have to shut her all down, then the season becomes a 12-game season or a 14-game season or an 11-game season, whatever it is. But I think it's foolish not to take advantage of what's in front of you, and that's time. Take advantage of that time and push the season back.
312-332-3776. So good news. Finally, we could all use the good news on this front. If you want to weigh in, we've got plenty of time for you before 6 o'clock. We've got Would You Rather coming up next. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys, Ryan Kelly at the Home Loan Expert. If you're like most folks, you probably have spent a lot of times in your home over the last couple of months. Maybe you're thinking it's time for a change. Contact Ryan Kelly, thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
That's right. Would you rather every Tuesday in the 4 o'clock hour? You send us your best either-or question. Would you rather this or that? Can make them funny, make them creative. The winning one will receive a $50 gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. They're located at the corner of...
I believe it's still at the corner of Grand and Western.
You'd be correct. Right in the heart of the city, they pass the savings on to you. Whatever you need, Grand and Western has it. Plenty of free parking, and they will help with wine and spirits and beer. And we all know that you need to be stocked up these days. So check them out. All right, what do we have? Tyler's in for Abdallah. Miller back at the shop. What do we have for Would You Rather today, boys?
All right, gentlemen, Damien will tip us off. He wants to know, would you rather use
a penis
as a tool
what?
For a year to make any repairs around the house, or Waddle, spend a week in prison? So you get the
I'm not
you get the Bruce Smith special.
Whatever, that's fine. I mean, whatever it's made
so
of,
like,
it's fine.
Instead of a hook, you have that on your hand, like Bruce Smith suggested.
Whatever. You know what? I'm in quarantine for another
year.
Captain Hook replaces Hook with a penis.
Yes, like
so
Steve Harvey said.
But what do I still have, like, a
wear
left
a glove.
Hand? Do I wear a left hand?
What do you mean, do you wear a left hand?
No, do I have a left hand? Like, so I have one hand that's that, and the other hand I have a hand for a year.
Oh, no. He says... use yours as a tool whenever you have to make a repair around the house. So your hands are perfectly fine.
Well, I don't make any repairs around the house, so I'm going
right,
with
and
that.
It's my house. I'm not going outside anywhere, so I'm definitely going to do that. Like, listen, my house, nothing will get repaired with it.
Yeah, I call a handyman.
Yeah, I can't.
Who
you know, I can't change
a
light bulb with it.
A hammer.
Can you change a light bulb with yours, Mallor?
I've never tried, Tom.
Well,
I guess there's a first time for anything.
If you had to guess, what would your guess be?
It might take a while.
We've had a shattered light bulb over the kitchen.
Don't put your pee-pee there.
No, right. No, that's a good lesson. Thank you. But we've not changed it in 2 months. We've gotten the replacement.
Why?
Because we're lazy. And I don't really
shattered
know.
Bulb?
I don't know. I don't think I know how to take away the
okay, here's what you do.
Okay. Either.
Is it a shattered ball? A bulb?
The bulb is already, yes, we've cleaned that part out, but it's now just an empty socket.
Okay, so go in your basement, turn off the breaker for the area that's in. Right? So, yes. Like, there's no electricity going
Correct.
Through. And then what I would take, and somebody may disagree, but if there's no electricity going through it, then you could take a pair of pliers and unscrew it using a pair of pliers.
No, we've already unscrewed it. We just haven't changed the bulb.
So you're just telling me that all you need to do is screw in the light bulb and that's what you haven't done?
I got
to
take the fixture off. That's a lot of work.
My God, I got nothing for
I
you.
Was an electrician's son. Don't forget about that.
That's the best
My
part.
Dad was
that
an electrician for 45 years. Don't forget that.
Yeah. That's
the
weird.
Apple fell far from
you
the tree.
You know what? Try to do it with your penis.
A penis.
Just do it.
He'll probably have more success.
Should I send that out a video tonight? Hey, Bruce, I can't change my light bulb.
Any recommendations?
Should.
All right, what do we got?
All right,
that's
next
it. Good night, everybody.
We're off the air.
Next, we've got, would you rather be quarantined with Cap or Waddle and his bubonic squirrel?
Well, I don't want to blame the bubonic squirrel.
You can't answer this, Waddle. This
quote unquote bubonic. I just want to give
some
clarity.
You can't be quarantined with yourself.
Okay, but the squirrel is like the squirrel's not in my office. The squirrel's over the fence.
No, but in this scenario,
proximity matters. Yeah,
I don't want near the dead squirrel. Cap has some whacked out sports opinions, but I've learned during this time that he's a good friend. So I'm gonna quarantine with Cap.
You stick it. You stick it, mister.
I'm not going near your squirrel. It's nothing against you.
I think this is a horrible entry, but Dr. Josh, I'll read it to the guys and let them know what they think. Would you rather be in the NBA bubble or be Bubble Boy from Seinfeld?
I didn't see the episode. I'd rather be in the NBA bubble because I'm making millions.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
It's like
you don't
want to
live in a bubble for your life.
I'm trying to win a title.
I know. That's what. Yeah.
By the way, is people getting snitched on in that bubble?
I want to talk about that coming up here at 5. So in about 6 minutes, we'll get to snitch or not to snitch. That's the question. Yeah, that's an easy one. Do we have another one that makes us think a little bit better, guys?
This one's a little better from Nate. He wants to know, would you rather for the next 3 years have the trio of Mancada, Eloy, and Luis Roberts, or Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, and Willie Contreras?
I'm going the known quantity. Just because it's known, I understand.
For how many more years?
Next 3 years.
The next 3 years. I know that Javi Baez can be an MVP finalist. I know that Wilson Contreras can be my catcher, my designated hitter, my left fielder.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Who was the third? And Chris Bryant, who's the MVP? Now, I know, Meller, you've chosen Eloy over Chris Bryant in the past, and all those players can be great, but there's still a lot of unknown.
Yeah, and listen, you just asked us. Money's not an object here. You got three guys. Those three guys for the next 3 years, or these three guys for the next 3 years, because the question didn't say with financial considerations as part of your decision.
In my defense, like I was always in terms of hitting, I would have taken Eloy, and it was like basically from last year on, whose career would you take from that point on?
Going forward, and you would still say that?
I would still take Eloy, the upside of his bat. But what I'll say
over Chris Bryant.
In this conversation, I would take the Cubs side because of the positions they play. Like, I love Eloy, but he's essentially a glorified designated hitter at this point, which is not good when you're as young as he is.
Don't you remember last year when we argued about Eloy's defensive prowess? Don't you remember that?
What do you mean we argued about it?
Well, it's like, I think, weren't you the one saying he's young, he's going to get better? And he, okay,
well,
but he's
Schwarber
just...
argued about Schwarber. I think that's where we argued, where I always said that Schwarber can be an average left fielder. Wasn't that the argument?
He's got a hose.
I mean, and Schwarber's actually like graded out in all the advanced metrics as a pretty good left, like not like great or anything,
not
but he's
great.
He's definitely above,
so
he's
average,
slightly above average.
Average,
I would say average. I wouldn't go slightly.
No, but I'm saying the defensive metrics over the last 2 years, he's been pretty good.
I know.
In terms of saving runs. I know. You want to yell at Pro Football Focus again, Waddle?
No, but sometimes you got to use your eyes and your metrics. And your eyes tell you that he's an average defensive left fielder.
That's
right?
That's all I'm saying. Average. Right. He's not a butcher. People want to paint him like he's a butcher in left. He'll have his
butchering moments.
And he'll have his butcheresque moments, yes. Yeah. But he'll also make some plays out there. And it, like you said, he'll throw some guys out.
Yeah.
I think he's an average left fielder.
Okay.
So you want to go with that last one as the winner? Is there a better one?
No, I think you – what was the first one we talked about?
I like the first one where we got the callback to a Bruce Smith.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Think anytime you can play that drop, somebody wins something.
All think right. So.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me.
It's one of the most shocking answers in the history of game shows, and that aired on Sunday.
You gotta see Steve Harvey's face too when he catches himself.
Oh yeah, the double take.
Oh, it's just
what he said.
And that was Bruce Smith, the Hall of Famer from the Bills.
Yeah,
incredible. All right, let's get into this conversation. No one likes a snitch. But is snitching the right thing to do inside the NBA bubble? That discussion in 2 minutes.